You're listening to The Range, Gardner-Webb University streaming and on-demand radio. My name is Jeff. In the studio with me, I'm very pleased by this, Tim Hudson is an assistant professor of music here at Gardner-Webb University. His instrument is the trumpet, and welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So glad that you had time this morning to come in and talk to us. You are quite the musical treasure to have here on campus, quite a resource for students to learn from, not just how to play the trumpet, but all the other things that you do. Let's just talk a little bit about what it is that you do. You are a full-time performing artist. You are also the a teacher and instructor here in trumpet at Gardner-Webb University. You are a founding member of Carolina Brass. You have played with many different groups like the Rodney Marcellus Philadelphia Big Brass. You've been principal trumpet in the Boston Symphony Orchestra, principal trumpet in the Israeli Philharmonic, and also the Utah Symphony Orchestras, and the list goes on. So let's talk about that. First of all, how long have you been playing trumpet? Well, did you get started?
Yeah, well, some of those, the Boston Symphony, that was actually my teacher, Charlie Schluter, was principal trumpet with Boston Symphony. I held a number of principal trumpet positions as well, and did play in Israel. I played with the Symphony Orchestra of the State of Mexico, principal trumpet there. I went down as associate principal, and most recently was playing second trumpet with the Charlotte Symphony while they were searching for someone. It was just a couple of years ago. And Rodney Marcellus, Philadelphia Big Brass, I joined that group, I guess it's going on 2 years now, and really enjoying playing with those guys, and we tour worldwide. So that's what's happening there.
Rodney is a part of the very renowned Marcellus family.
Oh, yeah. Rodney is. He grew up in New Orleans. All the Marcellus family are from New Orleans. And he's first cousin of Winton and Branford. In fact, he had trumpet lessons with his cousin Winton. And then Branford, who I also know quite well. Branford he actually just lives over in Durham.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah.
He likes North Carolina too.
Yeah. I've seen him play. I saw him play many years ago when he was touring with Sting.
Yes, right.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your roots though. You grew up in tobacco country here in North Carolina, is that correct?
I did, yes. I was actually born in Reidsville, and when I was very young, my family moved to Greensboro, and I always tell folks I'm kind of a homebody, but I'm on the road a lot.
Yeah.
But I love home, and so I've got lots of family, mostly in Greensboro and Reidsville, and come from very large families on both sides of my parents.
Were they a musical family?
No, not a family that had any sort of formal training, but... there were a lot of self-taught musicians. They would play, mandolin and especially guitar. And then I don't think anyone could really read music.
Right.
But they all sang quite well and wrote their own tunes and sang tunes. I know years ago, I think it was back in maybe 40s or 50s, a couple of my uncles had a little group that they were called the Sunnyside Boys, and Keep on the Sunnyside was their theme song.
Gotcha.
They sang on a local radio show, that sort of thing. So I think they probably, hit the fields and then took a break and made some music. And, a bit like it was back, in the Baroque era and everything, when folks would, provide their own entertainment.
Exactly.
And house entertainment and
quite a history of that here in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
How did that? So music was floating around your household, but how did you get interested in the trumpets?
Well, I'm
going to guess through the school system.
Well, my parents they've done an incredible job of just exposing me to a lot of different types of things early on, and so they did provide piano lessons for my sister and I.
Mm-hmm.
So I started studying piano. Well, I was singing in church as a little boy and all through. But I guess it was maybe the second or third grade I started taking piano lessons. And I did that for several years. I remember seeing Elvis Presley in 1976. when he came through Greensboro, the last time he came through. And he opened the concert, you know, heard this long sound, just boom, the sustained chord. And then I heard boom, 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 ba-dum, and Timmy, dum, dum, dum. It was trumpets, that, you know, the Zarathustra, the sunrise, right? So I thought, well, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard, these trumpets.
Yeah.
So at that point, you know, I was still interested in Elvis, but I wanted to hear more of the trumpets.
Gotcha.
And my mom, she said, yeah, why don't you play trumpet? So I signed up for band in the seventh grade, and you know, it just kind of took off.
Gotcha.
So I considered a number of things in high school, but knowing that, you know, music was just a real passion. But yeah, I considered joining the Marines. I considered being a minister. I just had several ideas, but you know, and interestingly enough, music is a bit like the ministry because it's a real calling if you're in the performing arts, because you feel like, you know, you have to do it. You're literally are called mm-hmm. to do that, and it's a bit of an addiction as well. You have to do this.
Was it in high school then that you figured out that you could make a career out of it, or did that come in college?
Well, it came as it went. I mean, I was so clueless in high school about what to do. I just thought, you know, I'll just work really hard and be a great trumpet player mm-hmm. and go to work. And, you know, I never had a ton of money so when I was younger, so I wasn't too worried.
Right.
So I applied for music school and got in and got a music scholarship and, you know, just sort of went from there. I'm a product of education, really, because I had such incredible instructors. My trumpet instructor at UNC Greensboro, where I did my bachelor's degree in music education. My two graduate degrees are in performance. But my bachelor's degree, Fred Beck, was my teacher there, and Fred had done his master's and doctorate at the Eastman School, which is one of the great music schools in the world. And then I went on and did a master's degree in performance at New England Conservatory, where I studied with Charlie Schluter, principal of the Boston Symphony, and I'd occasionally go down to New York City and get lessons from Bill Vacchiano and Phil Smith, a couple from Phil Smith, who was the current principal trumpet of the New York Philharmonic, and Vacchiano was still teaching at Juilliard, but he was retired from the Philharmonic. I had that association with Charlie, who's just an incredible, incredible trumpet teacher. And he's actually on our campus as we speak. I brought him in this weekend. We had a big event called Trumpet Summit. Mm-hmm. It's an annual event I started about 3 years ago. So we had that going. And then I just kind of went from there with various positions. Wherever the job took me is where I went. First job was teaching at SUNY Potsdam, Crane School of Music. And then I got an orchestra job in Mexico with quite a good orchestra in Toluca, just outside of Mexico City. And just went from there, one thing to the next, and you just sort of follow the dream and live mm-hmm. it, and keep working hard, keep ears open and network, and that's pretty much the reason when you look at my bio, and it's kind of all over the place, but I've just sort of followed the path that made the most sense.
When a door opens, you step through it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and if one isn't open, you unlock it and go through it anyway.
Knock on it a little bit, right? One of the things, think about that moment that you're at that Elvis concert and you hear those trumpets. You would not have known, I'm sure, at that point that the trumpet was going to take you all over the world.
I had no idea. In fact, if I had thought that, it probably would have scared me to death. I've never played it.
Talking about walking through those doors, when did the door open up for you to have an association with Gardner Webb University?
Oh, well, you know, interestingly enough, I had been, you know, this is the ninth university where I've taught, but there was a period of about 16 years when I was freelancing, and there was a period of 5 years where I wasn't teaching at all, other than, you know, every now and then students coming through town, a couple of high school kids taking lessons, had a student that was at Juilliard. He would fly down at his spring break, fall break, get lessons. But, you know, just here and there, but it was mostly playing. And I remember telling my wife, you know, it'd be nice to have some little adjunct position somewhere. And the checkbook was crazy because I'd make a lot of money 1 month. And the next month, I'd make maybe $1,000.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it was just very hard to negotiate that. So I literally put my checkbook on my desk. And I was doing quite well, mind you. It wasn't a financial issue. But I just put it on the desk and I said, Lord, it would be great if I had just a little adjunct job somewhere where maybe $500 a month, so $1,000 a month. I knew I had that.
Right.
Because 1 month I can make $10,000-$12,000 playing. Mm-hmm. Next month I might make $1,500. So it's it just depends. So within 2 weeks I got 3 college teaching jobs. After that. So I went to UNC Chapel Hill. I did a sabbatical placement there. And the other 2 jobs were here and High Point University. And High Point happened because I played a wedding, and at the gig, somebody on the faculty there told me they had a position open and they were interested in hiring me, and they hired me right away. And Patricia Sparty called me just a few days after that, after I had already accepted the other 2 positions, and said, we have a position open here. We're wondering if you'd be interested. So that's how that came to pass. Now, UNC went away. Mm-hmm. I did High Point and Gardner Webb simultaneously for 2 years. And I quit High Point because I felt like Gardner Webb, although High Point was 25 minutes from my house,
right.
And Gardner Webb is 2 hours and 15 minutes away. But I felt like this was where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I like that. You sat down and you said a prayer, and the next thing you know, you were working for 3 colleges.
Right.
That's
right.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you juggle the performance and the teaching? Because the adjunct position here at Gardner Webb eventually turned into a full-time teaching gig, but you're still performing. So tell us a little bit about finding that balance.
Well, it's very tricky, and my wife is extremely supportive and patient and everything else. I've got 2 boys. They're 7 and 13 now. And so Michelle, she is just sort of the rock that keeps everything stable there at the house. That I'm home, you know, I mean, I am home quite a bit, and I'm extremely active with the boys. And the nice thing is when I'm home, I mean, I am really home. I'm, you know, very involved in their school programs and, you know, going to my son's basketball game and so forth. But that's tricky. And she just brought the kids down this past weekend for a concert I was playing. So they were here and for a couple of days. So we kind of juggle things there. And, of course, we have management with Philadelphia Big Brass out of New York. And then I do some bookings on my own. So it's a juggling act. I mean, uh-huh. I've got 10 fingers and 12 pies. it's the thing about it is, I feel like I don't go to work. And I'm just very, very fortunate that I can go play and teach. You know, I wouldn't want to play without teaching, and I wouldn't want to teach without playing. So it's very important to me as a performing artist to pass on what I've been fortunate enough to learn and to understand, and then to be able to pass that knowledge on to the students is just equally rewarding as, you know, playing, you know, on the world's greatest stages.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then to see my students go on and do well is just, you know, fantastic.
How are you able to sort of translate what you've learned and what you get from performing with all these fantastic groups on these wonderful stages around the world? How are you able to share that with your students so that they can get a learning experience out of it?
Well, you know, we talk a lot about that. And in fact, I teach Music Industry Business Seminar 410, the last class that they take before they go on to do their internship, students here. And in that course, I talk a lot about networking and contract negotiations and management and nonprofit organizations and so forth. But as far as the what I'm learning on the job, you know, I'll come back, you know, I'll be on tour for a few days or a week or whatever, and I'll come home to Gardner Webb and say, okay, well, I was just playing with Tony Bennett. This is the third time I've played with him, and he's just the nicest guy. He's just the nicest fella. And so we'll talk a little bit about that and how that worked out. So I'll give him some information about the artists that I play with and, you know, who they are as people and how the dynamics of the rehearsal versus the concert, those kinds of things.
Good real world experience.
Yeah, yeah. So I give them a lot of interesting information like that, and then also, you know, sometimes I go into great detail about certain conductors, you know, specific conductors I've worked with in the past or currently working with, those kinds of things. So yeah, and then you know, it's everyone thinks that. It's all, you know, glitz and glamour because, you know, you go out and you're flying around and, you know, stay in nice hotels and everything else and then play on stage. And there's the, you know, I just did a PBS live PBS special last month. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're living out of a suitcase and you're dealing with airlines and cancellations and delayed flights. And I mean, I played a couple of concerts in New York City last week. And, you know, I sat on the runway for 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Before we took off to Charlotte. And, you know, so, you know, it's just like everybody else. Really, we're all in the same boat. So you know, I always tell people that, you know, I get paid for all the traveling, but I teach and play for free.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I've heard that from other musicians who talk about, you know, I drive for a living, and when I get there, I get to play for the audience.
Right.
So, yeah. You mentioned Tony Bennett, so I want to let people know exactly what we're talking about here. Yes, you've played for all these prestigious orchestras. You've played on these big stages with symphonies, but a lot of sort of jazz or pop artists that you've performed with over the years. I've got a list here. I don't want to, you know, drop every name I can find, but Ray Charles, The Temptations, Tony Bennett, you mentioned, Mannheim Steamroller, Kenny Rogers, The Moody Blues, Chuck Mangione, Josh Groban, if you're talking about one of the younger guys. I mean, that's quite a list. What's it like, you know, one moment you're playing, you know, Thus Spake Zarathustra with some symphony, and the next moment you're backing up Tony Bennett. That's got to be an interesting dynamic in itself.
It is, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why I'm not playing full time with an orchestra, and while, you know, opportunities have come, well, I was in the finals for Chicago Symphony 22 years ago now, I think it was, and but I got to a point where I felt like, you know, I'd rather just kind of do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's much more varied that way. However, you know, a number of these artists I've played with, you know, I've backed them up because I was playing with a specific orchestra. Some of them I was hired, you know, as a part of a smaller group that backed these mm-hmm. groups up. Mm-hmm. You know, Mannheim, for instance, I guess it was a period of maybe 5 years or so when they were touring this part of the country, they would call to play, you know, in the Carolinas and Virginia. And I would do a number of concerts with them, and they were asking me to do more and more. It got a point where I had to decide, you know, how much I'm going to do and, mm-hmm. and so forth. But and those are a bunch of really nice folks, by the way, man. That's a class act, Mannheim Steamroller. Very nice fellas. Clean. It's a clean band. But yeah, so it's a nice variety, and it keeps it very interesting.
I can imagine
to play the various pop musicians and jazz musicians and then, you know, with orchestras. And now, you know, I'm focusing more and more on the chamber music with my own group, Carolina Brass, plus mm-hmm. Philadelphia Big Brass. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, those two groups alone are quite busy, and and a lot of fun.
Well, speaking of that, being a founding member of Carolina Brass and it being Carolina Brass right here in the Carolinas, talk a little bit about that experience of being in there on the ground floor and what it is that Carolina Brass does.
Sure. Well, first of all, over the last several years, we've had two other brass positions come open. So there are three brass teachers here. I teach the trumpet, of course, and then we have a horn professor who's adjunct, and we have a low brass who teaches trombone, euphonium, and tuba. And when we had our horn opening, the horn player with Carolina Brass got the position, and it was about a year after that, we had a trombone tuba position open. And Dave Wolfeck got that. And Dave plays with Carolina Brass as well, as does Bob Campbell, our horn player. So Carolina Brass is, you know, three of the members of the group are here on the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so nice because, you know, we're out performing the same kind of thing. So they're able to give, you know, nice information to the students here as well. But I founded the group in 1997. I was living in Taiwan at the time, teaching at Donghai University in Taichung, which is about 90 miles south of Taipei. And so I wanted to move back to North Carolina, where I'm from, and I'd moved away for 10 years, about 10 years. And so I did a little market research, called North Carolina Symphony, said I'd be coming back, so they put me on their call list. And you know, so my wife and I moved back here. We didn't have children at the time, and moved back to Greensboro, and things just kind of took off from there. And Carolina Brass is now in its 20th year, and we just did a PBS special for with the North Carolina Master Chorale over at the Progress Energy, well, I guess they call it Duke Energy Center for the Performing
mm-hmm,
Arts
mm-hmm.
in Raleigh. And we've released 5 CD recordings, 4 on the Summit record label. So we do that, we do a lot of education programs where we go out into the schools and perform, middle schools, high schools, elementary schools. Sometimes we'll play for at-risk kids. We gave a benefit concert back in, I think it was September, for the Out of the Garden project in Greensboro. And what that is basically the backpack program where
uh-huh.
kids will, you know, on Fridays they bring their backpacks and the school counselor puts grocery bag fulls yeah. of, you know, how that works, of canned goods to take home so they have something to eat on the weekend. So my wife and I have been very involved in the Out of the Garden project for several years, especially Michelle. But Carolina Brass played a concert for them, and we part of that. I mean, they had an auction. An artist donated a piece that he had drawn, plus our concert and so forth. But they raised over $87,000 that evening.
Wow!
So we were really pleased about that. So Carolina Brass does a variety of events, and that's it's a lot of fun. And we've played here at Gardner Webb a number of
mm-hmm,
times.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm just amazed at the amount of travel you've got to be doing to make all these engagements and be involved in all these moments. Speaking of moments, whether it's something you did musically or something involved in teaching, if I ask, like, what's your proudest moment, what comes to mind?
Oh, wow. Work-related or personal? Because
trumpet related, I guess. Yes.
Work is personal.
You don't go to work. You just play music, right?
Exactly. I mean, it feels like I don't go to work. You know, I'm so fortunate to be in this field and something that I have such a passion for.
Mm-hmm.
As far as playing and teaching goes, perhaps, gosh, with performing, it's honestly very, very difficult to narrow it down to even a couple of things because mm-hmm. there's so many things that stand out in my mind that have just been wonderful. I mean, just recently, you know, I very much enjoyed a tour I did with Philadelphia Big Brass over to Europe. We were in Austria and Italy and on some beautiful old, you know, stages there, concert halls and cathedrals and so forth, and playing live on RAI, Italian radio, and so forth. So that was terrific. I enjoy opportunities like this, sitting down with folks and having a chat.
Having a chat, yeah.
live radio broadcast and so forth. And then as far as the teaching goes, all my students, they have my cell phone number. We stay in constant contact wherever I am through texting and Facebook Messenger and the social media and everything these days. But, you know, recently one of my former students, he won principal of the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra, John Parker, at age 21. And then he's 24 now. And when he was 23, he won associate principal of the Houston Symphony. So he's from High Point, and he studied with me from, I guess he was 11 or 12 until 21.
Wow.
And so very proud of him, very proud of our two recent graduates who just finished school here in December. Adam White, who is auditioning for grad schools now, and he's already been offered a graduate assistantship at Columbus State University, so that's a free master's.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Dawkins, who took Army Band audition and made it.
Wow.
So Ben is actually in basic training as we speak. Then there are other, every student that I have, that graduates from Gardner Webb, I'm so very proud of them. Kevin Clary, he's doing really well. Brandon Taylor. I mean, these guys are very successful band directors and just super, super people. So, out of all the schools where I've taught, Gardner Webb is my favorite.
You know, and I've heard from so many students when asked, what is it about Gardner Webb? Mm. They say the same thing you're saying. It's that relationship that they get to have with their professors.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Now, if somebody is listening to this, maybe they're in band or orchestra in their high schools and they're thinking about going to a college, what kind of advice would you give them about picking a college or maybe even looking at Gardner Webb as a potential place to go?
I think you want to pick at least four or five places to look at. You want to look at, well, what do I see myself doing in 10 years, and try to have some vision there. And then, visit the campuses and then imagine yourself being there. Imagine moving to Gardner Webb. Imagine being on campus. Imagine going to class there, attending the classes and meet as many professors as you can when you're on campus visiting. For trumpet, for every prospective trumpet student that comes through the door here, I give them a personal tour of the campus. I drive them around. I walk around campus. I'll have lunch or dinner with the student and their parents and our grandparents, whoever's there. And talk about the school and what we do and what we're about, what we stand for, that sort of thing. And then we just kind of go from there. So I think it's, Gardner Webb is an incredible place. I've lost some students because they wanted to study with me, but they wanted to go to a bigger school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, well, you have to go where your heart is if you feel that's what's important to you, but for the most part, it seems that most of the students that come here and audition, they wind up actually coming here.
That's good
as
news.
A student. Yeah, it's good.
If you to recap, this is Tim Hudson. He is a performing artist and a full-time professor of music, and his instrument is the trumpet here at Gardner Webb University, and really have enjoyed talking with you. And what we're going to do right now is quickly do a couple of little changeovers in the studio, and we're going to ask Tim if he can play us a couple of tunes on his trumpet.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you. All right. Thanks so much for having me. It's been really nice chatting with you. I'm going to play a tune here that I'm actually not going to introduce the title because you're going to know what it is. So... hope you enjoy it. It's just a little bit of a Dixieland take on an old familiar tune.